flat and lifeless. Revive your hair with Cell Therapy by Ovation, a breakthrough treatment not found in any other hair care line. Cell Therapy's unique blend of nourishing proteins, amino acids, and key nutrients treat the scalp and cuticle, defending against breakage for hair that is thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier. Hundreds of thousands of clients swear by Ovation Cell Therapy. In fact, over 94% of Ovation customers say they recommend Cell Therapy to their friends. And Ovation Cell
normal-looking people, close quote. The waitress said this to WHO-TV.
At first, I felt really upset. I felt like attacked.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as police have arrested a 46-year-old man accused of ambushing and shooting two Iowa police officers early today. Police say Scott Green allegedly shot and killed the first cop as he was sitting in his patrol car in the Des Moines suburb of Urbandale. The second officer responding to a call about the first shooting, he was found shot and killed in his car a short time later.
It doesn't look like there was any interaction between these officers and whoever the coward is that shot him while they sat in their car.
Police spokesman Sergeant Paul Parizic, and again, they have now arrested the man they believe responsible for those killings. He's identified as 46-year-old Scott Green. Good news for drivers in the southeast and mid-Atlantic states. The owner of a gasoline pipeline that's been shut down since a deadly explosion in Alabama that killed a worker back on Monday says the pipeline could be back up and running again by this Saturday. This is USA Radio News.
It started at bunco night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Let's talk about power. To illustrate this, allow me to tell you a story about how I moved a tow truck 25 miles using only my index finger. I was stranded with a flat tire. I opened the GEICO app. Then, with a few taps of my finger, I beckoned emergency roadside assistance and a tow truck to my car. I invite you all to unleash the full potential of your fingertips with the GEICO app. Thank you.
Updating a story we brought you a moment ago, the suspect in the ambush murders of two Iowa police officers early today is now reportedly in custody. WHO-TV just reporting the suspect, 46-year-old Scott Green, was arrested a short time ago. The family of a mentally ill black man who was shot and killed by police in Los Angeles is no longer suing the city. Here's the latest on that from Jason Campadonia.
Ezell Ford's family has tentatively settled their wrongful death and state civil rights lawsuit with the city of L.A., but details of the proposed settlement have not been made public. An attorney for the family says the settlement has not been finalized and still needs approval by the city council. Officers tried talking with Ford in August of 2014 when Ford ran off and hid. When officers finally found him, a fight broke out and Ford reportedly tried reaching for an officer's gun before getting shot. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
Fed policymakers not expected to raise interest rates as they wrap up a two-day meeting today. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually non-24. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmorenon24.com or call 855-856-2424.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Private sector job creation not very strong last month. Today's ADP private payrolls jobs report showing the U.S. economy added just 147,000 jobs in October, well below the 170,000 that economists had predicted. Many states don't allow photos or videos to be shot by voters at polling places, but there are efforts in many states this year to end such prohibitions. A case in point, the Libertarian Party of Colorado, which is challenging that state's law prohibiting people from taking selfies with their ballots. Party spokeswoman Karen Ann Harlow says,
"They won't let you take a picture of your or show your ballot to anyone. Like, I can't even show it to my husband in the privacy of my own home. And the Colorado law further forbids people from talking about who they voted or who they believe other people have voted for."
The party forced a restraining order hearing today that aims to keep the state from enforcing that law, which the party calls a violation of the right to political free speech. On Monday, a Colorado state senator filed a lawsuit saying the law is outdated. But the Secretary of State's office says that law does protect the integrity of the election system and protects voters from intimidation. They told us it was going to be an exciting fall classic, and it certainly is. Here's Doug Parrish.
The World Series heading to a deciding Game 7. The Cubs beating the Indians last night, and they're hoping for one more win tonight in Cleveland. The Indians, meanwhile, trying to win their first World Series since 1948.
While the Cubs last won in 1918. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. I am also a licensed professional counselor with a private practice here in Flemington. And I am talking today about being an adult child of an elder parent and taking care of your parents, as this is National Caregiving Month for those of us that may have parents that are now in our care. So this is really sort of a dramatic shift over the past several decades in our country, and that's mainly happened because over the past 60 or 80 years or so, the longevity of the human being has expanded. So we are now living longer. So it's now much more common for children to have to work with and help and aid and see to the care of an elderly parent, especially with more and more people living beyond their 70s. That makes more adult children left in the position where they have to care for their aging parent. And along with that comes many challenges and many responsibilities. I, for one, have a parent that I have in, she's, you know, now in her, she's 86 and she needs some health care. She has health care issues. I have friends who have parents that are in their late 70s, early 80s, who are in assisted living, or and I have clients who have parents who are coming to me with dealing with some coping skills with their parents also being in assisted living or in need of assistance or something like that, and the stress that it puts on the family. And not only that, the stress that it puts on the caregiver themselves. It's not an easy task to do. And I say that both from listening to my friends and my clients. It's not an easy task. It's probably one of the most challenging things that we can do as adults, which is be responsible and meet the needs care give to our parents. For some, it's not that difficult. Some people, their parents are very amiable, easy to get along with, and are very accepting of the situation that they're in and the care that they're getting. And it's a relatively easy transition. Is it time consuming? Absolutely. But dealing with the parent is not a challenge. For others, I'll say a lot of the clients that I have, one of the reasons they're coming is because they have a parent that's difficult. And it's not an uncommon situation. The other thing, too, is that, again, not very uncommon, is that when an aging parent needs care, it often falls on one child, even though there might be siblings, to do the majority of the work. So generally speaking, it's one child that steps up to the plate and does a good portion of the caretaking. The other sibling may help out a little bit, but generally it really does fall on the shoulders of one person. And so it can feel almost like a full-time job, making sure that a mom or dad are happy, not feeling lonely, or getting their needs met, that they're healthy, that they've got their financial issues in line, that their medical issues are being attended to, that they're getting out for shopping trips and doctor trips and socialization activities, and it's time consuming, and I don't think there's anyone out there that wouldn't agree to that. Just keeping an eye on the finances and being vigilant to their safety can be a huge thing. One of the things that I think is important to recognize for all of us as we get older, that there is a huge grieving process in place, meaning not just, I'm going to say, someone like myself grieving for my mom's situation, in that it's a loss of her freedom and mobility and her loss of her health. It's also about the loss that they're experiencing. So the loss of their own ability to take care of themselves or cook for themselves or drive, or they need to move into a place such as an assisted living program where they've now lost their home or their apartment. and had to downsize and lose their routine. You know, we don't think about the loss of routine. All of a sudden, it's a whole new routine. Loss of dignity. So what do I mean by that? Well, you know, if we have a parent that's incontinent or needs help getting dressed or needs help bathing, those kinds of things, you know, they've spent their lives being very productive, independent human beings, and now all of a sudden they have lost that ability and they are relying on other people for care and comfort and food and many, many things that we kind of take for granted as independent adults living our own lives. And so there's definitely a grieving process that takes place. And one of the things that is important to do is to really try as a caregiver to help your parent move into this next phase of their life. And for some people, like I said, it's something that is relatively smooth, even though we may go through the grieving process of the losses. But for others, it can be a challenge. So I'm going to take a little commercial break, and I'm going to come back and talk about you as the caregiver and what you may need to do to take care of yourself as a caregiver. So I'm going to take a few commercials, and we'll be back with Counselor's Chat.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira-Roll, your host for today's program. And November is National Caregivers Month. And when we talk about being a caregiver, it's not so much being a parent to your children and taking care of them. It's also not necessarily about being in the medical field, being a nurse or that kind of thing where you're taking care of patients or clients. It's really about being an adult child of an elderly parent, and that's the kind of caregiving that this month is talking about. So with that being said, if you have a parent that is in the aging process, which many of us do have because people are living longer today, you may find yourself in some difficult situations. Where do I go for help? How do I take care of mom? You know, we hear commercials, a place for mom. I will say that a place for mom was very helpful for me. They responded quickly when I contacted them a number of months ago, giving me a list of different possible options for a place for my mom. We have things like senior housing. We have live-in caretakers. We have people that come for a couple days a week. There's, you know, visiting angels, those kinds of things. And so there's a lot of things that we can do as caregivers that can help get our parents situated in a place. It might be their own place. It might be, like I said, senior housing. let me explain about senior housing. Senior housing is low income or low cost apartments for seniors. It's not assisted living where there's medical staff. There are no medical staff. There might be a social worker there to help with people connecting with different agencies and whatnot, but there is no nursing staff at a senior housing. When you move into assisted living is in between a nursing home and senior housing. So assisted living does have nursing care there. And generally speaking, the people in assisted living do have some type of either cognitive or physical issue that they need more intensive attention rather than just being able to live on their own and take their medication and you know, living in a place where there's a lot of other people, making it a little bit more safe. And then, of course, ultimately, there is nursing home care, which is a lot more intense in terms of people who really cannot be independent and they need the more intensive health care. So as a caregiver, I think one of the first things to really think about is how much you can do. Now, sometimes people say, you know what, I think I may have to quit my job to help my parent because there's a lot of time and effort that goes into it. And those of you who are taking care of a parent, even if the parent is in assisted living, you realize that there is a lot of work that goes into it. You need to recognize that if you do make that choice to leave your job to take care of your parent, that you may have some difficult time finding work in the future, depending upon how long you're away from the workplace. It would not be my first, you know, it's a suggestion, but it really wouldn't be my first go-to. It becomes very stressful. So if you left your job, you're going to lose your own benefits. And you need those things. You need those things. It may be that you yourself have a long-term health care insurance that you would have to let go of because you're not having income anymore. It's really difficult. I mean, it's a challenge to be able to put things in perspective so that you're not taking care of yourself and that you are also taking care of your elderly parent. And so that is, I'm going to say, one of the biggest challenges is making that decision in the first place. When you recognize that mom and dad are not able to take care of themselves, if you say, I think I'm going to have mom or dad move in and we're going to take care of them, you know, in our home, you need to really think about the impact. One of the things that, again, change for an elderly person can be a real challenge. So if we say to mom or dad, look, you know what, you've been living on your own, you need some help, I think, you know, we're going to arrange it so you can move in with us. So they move in with you. Within 2 or 3 months, you realize it's way more than you can handle. Now you're going to move your parent out of your home into an assisted living program. You really need to think about the kind of stress that puts on your parent. All of those changes take a toll. So it's really, if you can get someone to be an assistant where they're living, a live-in assistant or assisted living, I would think that's probably optimal. Now I know that not everybody can afford that. I know that not every parent has long-term health care insurance to help pay for assisted living. It is expensive. However, I would also caution about quitting your job and start looking for other means of care. If your parent does need extensive care, Again, you can hire a generic care manager who could put together a plan for you. You can go on the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers. That's, again, the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers. And they can help you explain what's available for you. They can also help out with connecting you with other agencies that may be well worth it. It's really important as a caregiver to learn about Medicare and Medicaid. So you need to know what Medicare covers in nursing home stays or assisted living stays. Medicaid does cover people, but only when they've exhausted most of their assets. So that means, you know, gee, right now, you know, mom's got $50,000. When that money is gone, then she goes into Medicaid. Now, some of the, in my own experience, some of the programs, assisted living programs that I've looked into for my mom, they require, make sure you understand, they require 2 to 3 years of self-pay, $6,000-$7,000 a month. It's expensive. So you need to know that your parent has the financial wherewithal if they don't have long-term health care insurance, which even then that may not be a guarantee, depending upon where your parent is in terms of hit of their health. You need to know that they have enough money that's going to keep them in a stable self, you know, keep them in a stable place for 2 to 3 years. So that if their money runs out and Medicaid kicks in, that's okay. But like I said, most people have to exhaust their money. In other words, they have to be really low on money before Medicaid can kick in. You also need to know what Medicare and Medicaid covers in terms of health needs. And there's many different policies, such as Medigap or Medicare Advantage, the drug plans, co-pays, out-of-pocket limits. The more, you know, does your parent have a supplemental insurance? The more information that you know, the better for you to make choices in terms of the best kind of care for your parent. I know for myself, that's one of the things that I am I'm getting myself more familiar with, is that, you know, Medicare and Medicaid and her long-term health care insurance and all of those things. In addition, be aware that for some, your parents may be able to manage their own finances. For others, they may say, I can't do this anymore. I need your help. Here's my checkbook. Here are my bills. I need you to take care of my finances. I find it too complicating at this stage in my life. So realize that you may also become an accountant for them. And you're going to be taking care of their finances. One of the best, I'm going to say it, pieces of advice that I received shortly after my dad died, and we were working on finances back then, you know, his Social Security versus my mom's Social Security, is that if you can be a representative payee. So what that means is that you contact the Social Security office. Of course, your parent needs to approve of it. And that is, you open up a checking account and the money goes directly from Social Security into the representative payee checking account. And then from there, you disperse it as needed to pay for bills or however. Social Security suggested that I do that about 5 years ago, which I'm really glad that I did, because to try and then say, gee, mom, you've had, you know, full access to all your monies and now you're really struggling with it. You know, are you willing to let me? And sometimes parents go, I don't trust you. And I'm going to talk about some of those issues. But to then have your parent give up that sense of freedom, handing over their finances to someone else, is a challenge. So you don't want to get into that challenge. You want to try and get those things taken care of before you even get there, even if you don't use it. Like my mother's Social Security check would come in, I just deposit it right into her checking account as if it was direct deposit. And then she gets this to write her checks however she used to anyway. She's just given me all of the stuff. The other thing, too, as a caregiver, if you can get the power of attorney, again, you don't need to use it. But as our parents age, it's important to have that access so that if they are now showing signs of not being able to make some good decisions, their finances, those kinds of things, sign paperwork for them, you have the ability to do that. Now, power of attorney doesn't mean that your parent is incompetent. It just means they're giving you the permission to sign legal documents for them. So I think that that's something that's really important. I think also you need to watch out for things like financial scams and financial abuse. A lot of times that seems to be happening with the elderly. So it's really important that you make sure that your parents are protected from making hasty and poor decisions. I have heard and seen situations where an elderly father will have a young girlfriend come in who is really scamming him of his money. That's not necessarily uncommon. So that's another thing to be aware of. So I'm going to take another short break. I think we'll do the weather, another couple of commercials. I'm Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselors Chat, and I will be back in just a few moments.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
The weather for today, it is currently 65 with a high of 71 expected, and it is mostly sunny. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low around 54. Thursday, a chance of showers, then showers and possibly thunderstorms after 2 p.m., patchy fog in the morning, and a high near 75. The chance of rain will be between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, and except for higher amounts possible where there might be some thunderstorms. And then Thursday night, showers likely, again possible thunderstorms, and some more rain predicted. Friday will be sunny with a high near 56, and Friday night will be mostly clear. Saturday, sunny with a high of 57. Sunday, again, mostly sunny with a high near 57. So a nice, cool, crisp, fall, sunny weekend ahead of us.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselors Chat. That was an appropriate commercial for the topic today, caring for aging parents. And as I was saying, that just in terms of some of the financial things before the break, getting a power of attorney, making sure your parents have wills is important, and a living will. A living will or a health care proxy is the legal statement of what needs to happen if your parent is in a medical crisis. In other words, you know, my parents 96, and if they have a heart attack or stroke, do we resuscitate? Do we do a feeding tube? Do we, you know, what are some of the things that we need to do? And this is something that you sit down with your parent and you talk about, so that you're kind of pre-planning for what may happen. And this way, in the moment of crisis, the decision's already been made. So it may be that, yeah, you know, 30 days, sure, 30 days on a life support, you know, that's great. If that's not working, then we take you off life support. They're difficult topics, to say the least. However, it's really important that you sit down and have these conversations with your parent. Now, you might be able to find an attorney to help, or an elder care expert that can sit down with you and your parents and have these discussions. So those things are really important. I think it's also important to understand the cost of keeping your parent in their own home. This is another aspect of self-care. Most people want to grow old in their own home, which is understood, being surrounded by professionals and by their possessions and their memories. And, you know, that's understandable. You might want to go on, there's some studies where you can go on, it's called Aging in Place. It's a workbook, so it's an Aging in Place workbook, so you can kind of figure out if that will work financially with your parents' monies. And so you have that opportunity to do that, to see if it's feasible. Especially when we recognize that our parents are becoming older and more frail, or having some memory issues, or, you know, maybe slipping in the tub, or having problems with their meals, and mobility problems, and bathing problems, and getting dressed and undressed, and getting confused easily, getting emotional easily. We really need to be aware of what all of that means and how to help and where to get help. So making a decision such as, do I keep my parent in their home or do I put them in assisted living? Those are important things to do. So again, you can go on to Aging in Place. It's a workbook that you can look at to see if it's feasible for that in-home care versus institutional care costs. I think one of the things that's really important, and it's something that I just found, it's called agingcare.com. Now, agingcare.com is a website for caregivers. And it is very useful in that it has many different articles that can be useful in terms of making decisions. Is it time to sign your parent up for assisted living, or how to search for assisted living facilities? There's caregiving guides. There's information about what if you are in burnout. Yes, caregivers, we can get into places where we're feeling all burnt out from doing all the care that we've been doing. How to handle a difficult parent, a parent with dementia, a parent with Alzheimer's, a parent who has a history of mental health issues, and how to detach. The detachment sometimes is a really important tool to learn. I think it's a fantastic website. So, there, you know, I've got it up right now with questions. Is, you know, what do you do when an elder parent refuses needed care or legal considerations? You know, what should I expect for monthly rent with independent living? Just these kinds of questions are really important. What to do with sundowner syndrome or Parkinson's? 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's or dementia. So caring for our parent or parents can be extremely stressful. So if you are caregiving and you're noticing things like forgetfulness or memory loss, it may be some signs that there's early dementia or early Alzheimer's. It may not be. Dad doesn't remember where he put his shoes or that he called his kids by the wrong names. It doesn't mean he has Alzheimer's. We all forget details of a conversation. So that might not be anything. However, if it's something where they're having trouble remembering important dates and events, they ask the same information over and over again, this may be an onset of something. So, you know, even sometimes forgetting a complete conversation that took place only moments ago. A lack of concentration, increased confusion, you know, if you're noticing that. Sometimes that may happen when you've just moved mom into a whole new living situation. So I've got a whole new routine to learn. And so I may, you know, show signs of increased confusion or lack of concentration. And that's understandable. However, if it's something that continues to occur, it might be something to look into. Another sign might be losing things. They may lose things and be able to use simple things because it's becoming too much of a challenge for them. Sometimes this can also lead to paranoia in the elderly, believe it or not. It's not uncommon for elderly people to begin to have or show signs of paranoia because they've placed something in somewhere and they can't remember where they've placed it. They think someone's taken it. They can't even find their usual hiding spot. And so the only thing they can think of is maybe there's been a thief or someone has come in and purposely rearranged their things for them. Another thing to notice for your parent. Is their difficulty in doing familiar tasks. They may have trouble remembering how to drive or cook a favorite recipe or play a game. They might start relying more and more on a family member to do things that they once did themselves, making simple phone calls. It may be related to vision problems or hearing problems or depth perception, judging distance, seeing colors. There's a lot of things that can lead to that. So it may be some dementia issues. It may be some physical issues. The other thing to look at is language and speaking problems. There may be a lot of you know, I can't remember what is that called? You know, list writing. Just always having trouble recalling things, and so I've got to make a lot of lists. Stopping in the middle of a sentence because they can't remember the conversation. There might be some simple problems with simple math, that can show some early signs of difficulty working with numbers, including, like I said, their checkbooks, simple addition and subtraction may become too much for them. Even using a calculator might become overwhelming. So these are little signs that you may want to know as a caregiver that, gee, you know, my parents been, you know, I'm getting really frustrated with them, but this may actually be signs of some issues that are going on. You may notice that they're having trouble making some good choices. So there might be some dementia or Alzheimer's that are affecting their ability to make good judgments for themselves. And you might be noticing some personality changes. Again, one of the things that mentioned was some paranoia, being suspicious, depressed, anxious, fearful. They might become tentative or shy. A lot of these things can come about because of some memory issues. And as a caregiver, it's important to notice these things rather than getting frustrated, and that's where we need a little detachment. Rather than getting frustrated with, Mom, I already told you where your keys are, or Mom, you know where you put that. It's better to just observe, be concerned, and seek out some help for your parent. These things are important. So if you are concerned, you might want to have a doctor check out for some dementia. Even if you're only noticing a couple of things, you know, just out of the list that I gave. And again, you know, as a caregiver, what's going on with them mentally and emotionally is really important to do. So, you know, their finances, their physical well-being, where they're living, their emotional well-being, memory issues, their health issues, their mobility issues. You know, is it time for Mom to have a walker, use a cane? You know, they're just going to be more unsteady on their feet. And so, yes, you know, you get that life alert. You know, my mom had one of those for a while in case she fell. It's doing all of those things to make sure that your parent is in a place. And when I say in a place, I don't necessarily mean assisted living, but it could be in her own home, but that she's safe, or that he's safe. He's being cared for. His needs are being met. So I need to take just another short little commercial break, and I'm going to come back and talk a lot more about the need for detachment, loving detachment, and what that looks like. So I will be back with Counselor's Chat in just a few moments.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a
friend. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
All Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. And November is National Caregivers Month. And as a caregiver, or not, again, I said I'm not talking about taking care of your children or being a nurse or, you know, in that type of a caregiving profession. It's really about taking care of a parent. And there's so many things to look for. Now, I have a parent that is in the situation, and I'm doing caretaking for my mom. And I found this great site. It's called agingcare.com, agingcare.com. It has all kinds of information. It is also a support group so that you can ask questions and get support and see what other people have to say with situations. Everything from dealing with Alzheimer's and different health issues to how to deal with a difficult parent, learning how to detach with love. And the reason why I talk about detachment and is that in the process of caregiving, it takes a lot of emotional energy, a lot of physical energy, and a lot of energy out of a lot of time out of our day, out of our life. And we need to learn how to take care of ourselves. So it's really important to learn a little bit about detachment. And that we cannot meet all the needs of our parents. We cannot do it. Especially as they get older, they may become angry and frustrated because they're losing so much of their independence and their health and even, you know, their memory. There's so many areas where they're losing out. And it's hard for them, and they are angry about it, and they are frustrated, and they are sad, and sometimes they take it out on the people that's closest to them, which is probably their caregiver. So it's really important to learn what detachment looks like, and loving detachment. So it may mean that you have to say no sometimes, or set up some boundaries. It might be that you sit and you listen to your parent, you know, put you down and be nasty to you. And you may have to say, you know what, Mom, Dad, I have to walk away right now, or I'm going to end the conversation right now. You may need to say it's not okay for you to talk to me that way, or you have to let it roll off your back, which is a real challenge, especially if you have had a contentious relationship with your parent to start off with. So, you know, long-term family dynamics, you know, can play a role. And at the same time, you may need to say, I got to step back. I need the help. I need the support for myself to help you. And that's really okay. I say this to clients all the time. Nobody dies from feeling guilt. It's uncomfortable. And we think that we are obligated or we are super responsible for. It's our task to take care of our parent. We do it out of love. We do it out of commitment. We do it out of many, many reasons. However, we have to be careful, like I had said earlier, about burnout. And burnout happens. You know, it's a term that we used to use quite often. Oh, I'm burned out. But it's still very applicable in this circumstance, so that the confusing conversations, the time demands, the financial responsibility, the responsibility for overseeing health care, transportation, you know, getting the house clean, making sure where they're living is safe. You know, even if it's assisted living, you still need to be on top of things. You can't just necessarily turn it over. Unless it's, you know, so difficult, your parent is so difficult, you might sometimes need to walk away, which is a very sad thing because parents don't necessarily understand what's going on. It's only going to make them more angry, more agitated. So if you can work at getting some support and help, maybe you have to go to counseling yourself to talk about and learn how to detach and take care of yourself first. It is such a challenge to have to say to a parent who is sort of begging for your attention, I'm sorry, I have to take care of myself first. It's always good to see if you can have people as backup. Now, that doesn't always happen. We may not have family members, siblings, family friends even, who can chip in and help. That's when you may have to look into, and again, this is why knowing what Medicare and Medicaid offers, I may need to look into some other services where I can get someone to give me respite care. Speaking of respite care, if you are someone who's decided to have mom or dad live with you and you need a break, you can contact assisted living programs and say, you know, I would like mom or dad to stay there for a week. I'm going on vacation. I don't have anybody to help us, you know, and you can do that. This way they're in a place where they're being well taken care of, they're being looked after, and it gives you a break. It sounds kind of cruel, cold. I don't know what, I need a break from taking care of my parent. But if you're feeling really worn out, not sleeping well, not eating well, maybe not eating at all, maybe eating too much, agitated, short-tempered, exhausted, saying, gee, I don't have fun anymore. I'm not even interested in a hobby that I used to be interested in. I feel just put upon. These are all signs and symptoms that you may need to work on some detachment and self-care. Really important. So as a caregiver, don't put yourself last. Put yourself first. Remember, most of us have been on a plane. Not all of us, but most of us. Or we have seen it or heard of it when the oxygen mask drops. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you help the person next to you. It is one of the clearest and one of the few times in our society that we are told to take care of ourselves first. So it doesn't mean that we are being selfish. It doesn't mean that we don't care. It means that we have to take care of ourselves first. Because if I am exhausted, my diet's off, I'm feeling burdened and put upon, especially if there, I have a history with my parent where it's contentious, and maybe I was abused as a kid, and now I'm getting verbal abuse from it can set things up to be ugly, and that's not what we want. We it's better to walk away and detach than to find yourself in a situation where there's actual elder abuse. And keep in mind, you don't need to be in a situation where your elder is abusing you. You can detach and step away and walk away. You may feel guilty about it, and that is okay. It's okay. Look for support groups. Go on this website, agingcare.com. Look into additional help. Give yourself a break. Put yourself first. Learn to say no. Learn to say no. It's okay. It really is. And give yourself a pat on the back for doing the best you can. Sometimes our parents really want and demand a lot more than we're able to give. You know, like started off with, sometimes people even quit their jobs to take care of mom or dad or both. Really think about some of those things. Take care of yourself first. Because the better you care for yourself, the better able you're going to be able to care for your elderly and aging parents. So keep that in mind. I do hope this was helpful. I think Googling things is just such a fantastic tool. So do that. Ask the computer questions about all kinds of things if you're dealing with an elderly parent, and just see what kind of answers you get. Again, that's how I came up with the agingcare.com. I've already used it. I think it's a fantastic site. I've had some questions. I've gotten responses from other people that have found themselves in similar situations. It always helps to know that you have a place that you can talk, that you can vent, that you can get additional information. See a counselor if you're really struggling. Like I said, I've got some clients in that situation. So know that you're not alone, that you don't have to be alone in dealing with an elderly parent. So that's the end of my show for today, and I will be back next week with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I am a licensed professional counselor of my master's in counseling. I'm national